I cannot tell. Hey, man.
Paul said, but none of these things move me. Either count I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy. Amen. Before we get started, I want to congratulate Matthew and Hadley on getting engaged. So y'all are in good hands tonight. Nobody's hungrier than me. I won't keep you long. That chop house across the street's calling my name, and I think Matthew's paying him. Well, I think I know what Johnny Cash was talking about when he said, I fell into a burning ring of fire. Amen. That's kind of how I feel right now after this morning. Praise God. Such a time as this. Amen. Well, I heard a story about two old men fishing. Amen. And they were out on a fishing boat, and they were out there fishing. All of a sudden, a frog popped up into their boat, and the frog began to talk. And that frog said, if you'll kiss me on the mouth, I'll turn into a princess, and I'll love you for the rest of your life. And one of the old men just picked the frog up, put it back in his pocket, and kept on fishing. The other man said, hey, man, why didn't you kiss her? I heard what he said to you. And he said, well, at my age, I'd rather just have a talking frog. Amen. 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 Well, I want to communicate to you tonight. I want to help you. Amen. Amen. It's been a good week. Pastor's been gone, and I bet everybody was real nervous. But all the messages have tied in together, if you think about it. And that's how you know the Lord's in it. I mean, Brother Barry, he preached on tears. Brother Tony preached on correction. Brother Beck preached on forgiveness. And Brother Tom this morning preached on numbering our days. And I got to thinking about all that. And I asked myself, I said, why does God keep our tears in a bottle? Well, because he loves us. Why does God correct us and not want us eating at the wrong table? Because he loves us. Why does God forgive us? Because he loves us. Why does God teach us to number our days? Because he loves us. And I've had this message I'm going to preach tonight for about 2 months, and I wrestled with it when I was at home after church this morning. You know, my flesh wanted to preach something different. Bless God, get up here, skin the cat. But God said, you stick with that message that I gave you 2 months ago, because it ties into all these other ones. Amen. And so tonight, if God will help me, I want to preach on somebody loves you. Amen. Somebody loves you. Take your King James Bibles, if you would, please. Let's go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and we'll begin in verse 21. And while y'all are turning there, I want to say that I love my church, amen? Amen. And I love my pastor, but I need to say that I'm not here for a YouTube channel, bless God. Amen. I'm not here for somebody else's ministry. I'm not here for a legacy. I'm not here for a family name, bless God. The reason I'm here is for the Lord Jesus Christ, because I know what he's done in my life, and I'm here to preach Christ and him crucified. 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. All right, let's begin our reading here in verse number 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then Jesus looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Brother Tony, you pray, ask the Lord to help us.
Father, we're just going to thank you, Lord, for the messenger. I just pray that you'd be with the message tonight. Lord, I know you've given Brother Sam the message a long time ago. And Father, I just pray that you'd be with him, fill him up,
yes.
Lord, and just give him the words that we need to hear, Father, not what we want to hear, the right words, not the good words, Father. And just
yes.
Pray
Amen. You can be seated. Number one, I want to say that if you draw your attention to verse 21, that right there where it says that one of you shall betray me. The first thing I want to say is, number one, we sometimes fail Jesus.
Amen.
And we all make mistakes. Now, we know obviously the one in our text who betrays Jesus, we know that's Judas. Amen. And it's real easy to give Judas a hard time. Amen. But the thing of it is every one of you in here, myself included, we've all betrayed Jesus. At one time or another. And I'm not minimizing Judas's sin. I know that he was a devil. I know he went to his own place. I believe Revelation 13, he's going to come up out of that pit. He's got the spirit of Antichrist and all that. I know he's the one that takes the sop. He's also called the son of perdition. I know all those things. And I'm not condoning or minimizing Judas's sin. But number one, sometimes we all fail Jesus. Amen. And I'm not for condoning sin. I'm not for making mistakes. I'm for clean living. Bless God, I'm for separation. And I'm for holiness. The Bible says, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. Amen. And I'm for separation, and I believe that you're going to reap what you sow. Galatians said, if you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you shall reap corruption. Amen. And I believe that you always reap more than you sow. Hosea said, they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Proverbs 6:27, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? And can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? You're going to reap more than you sow, friend. So I'm not for making mistakes, but I want to say that, yeah, Judas made mistakes. I make mistakes. You make mistakes too. Even John, the one that we're reading about here, he made mistakes. And I'm guilty of every one of the mistakes that John made. John had a temper. They called him one of the sons of thunder. Amen. He wanted to call down fire against some people that he didn't agree with. Anybody in here got a temper? Amen. I do. You should ride in a car with me, right? But we see that John had a temper. John had a little bit of pride. He said that he thought that he deserved to sit at Jesus' right hand in glory. That's a little prideful, ain't it? He also, John struggled with jealousy. They said that we saw one casting out devils, and he followed not with us, and we forbade him. And Jesus had to rebuke him and said, he that is not against us is for us. But not only that, but we saw that John also was one of the ones that betrayed Jesus. Mark 14:50, they all forsook him and fled. Have you ever betrayed Jesus? Let me just tell you, every single time you break fellowship with Jesus, you betray him. Every time you lie, hey, every time you gossip, every time you lust, every time you keep your mouth shut about Jesus Christ when the Holy Ghost comes on you and says, hey, you ought to witness, hey, you ought to pass out that tract. Every single time you do that, you betray Jesus. Amen. Every time you skip reading your Bible, every time you skip praying, hey, every time that you skip coming to church, you betray Jesus. Look at how many people aren't here that were here this morning. God help us. Every time you get jealous, every time you drink alcohol, every time you smoke, every time you fornicate, you betray Jesus. Amen. Every time you dress immodest, every time you listen to the wrong music, every time you watch the wrong thing on TV, you betray Jesus. Amen. And nowadays, what we want is we don't want no preaching on sin. Just tickle my ears and give me three claps for Jesus and tell me how good I am. But hey, friend, Jesus is the one that said, go and sin no more. I came in here, bless God, I came in here to preach tonight. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for when the world in its wisdom knew not God. Hey, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Amen. Amen. I feel like saying a few things. And nowadays you say, well, Brother Sam, why are you hitting on that drinking, smoking, and fornicating? Hey, and you don't like preaching on sin? Let me tell you, here's what you do. Look up in here. Get it right and it won't be your sin anymore. Amen. And then you'll be able to say amen to that. Amen. Well, don't just get so animated. Why are you preaching on the same things over and over again? Just calm down a little bit. The Bible says over there in Acts 13:16 that Paul beckoned with his hand. Amen. You know what Paul was doing? Paul said, look up in here, big boy. You need to get your sin right. Amen. Amen. But see, the thing about it is that, yeah, John made those mistakes, but I want to say that John had the right preacher. Amen. John sat under the Lord Jesus Christ. John had the right preacher. John had the right people. He was with the disciples that wrote Scripture. He had the right preacher. He had the right people. Not only that, but he was in the right place. He was around a bunch of Bible believers. So you can have the right preacher, and you can come to the right church, and you can be in the right place, and you can still make mistakes, and you can still fail Jesus. Amen. But what I want to tell you is he still made mistakes, and you will too. And I'm not here trying to beat up on John. My wife's told me that when we have a kid one day, if God will have that for us, that he wants to name him John David Green. And I love John, amen? You know, I want to name him Samuel Boaz. You call him Sambo. Amen? But she's going to be the one that has to push that thing out, so we'll see who wins that. But what I want to say is that Jesus loves us despite our failures. Jesus loves us despite our flaws, despite our faults, despite our failures. But what we do is, well, bless God, I don't like this about so-and-so. And we get stuck up on their flaws. Praise God, Jesus don't do that. Amen. He forgives us in spite of our faults. See, we want to do is we see the worst in people. But God looks past that. Jesus looks past our faults. He looks past our flaws. He looks past our failures. Because you know what? When God looks at us, when he sees our failures, he doesn't see our failures. He sees the blood of his son. We say that we have fellowship with him, but walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Praise God. Praise the Lord for full salvation. God still reigns upon the throne. And I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Praise God. We sometimes fail Jesus. But number two, I want to say that we're special to Jesus. Look down at verse number 23. We are special to Jesus. Now there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So what we're going to have to do, church, is first we're going to have to realize that we're special to Jesus. The thing about John is John realized he was special in the eyes of Jesus, the one whom Jesus loved. And I can just picture of all the disciples at the dinner table, John was the closest to Jesus, right? They're at that Last Supper that we've all seen the painting of. And you got John, you got everybody sitting at the table, and here comes John. Oh, excuse me, let me get over here. Excuse me just a little bit, Peter. Let me get over here. Pardon me just a second. Let me scooch on over here, Andrew. I just want to get close to Jesus. And all the disciples are probably thinking, man, who does this guy think he is? Look at John. Thinks he's special. John says, bless God, I'll tell you who I am. I'm the one whom Jesus loved. Amen. See, John was able to realize that he was special to Jesus. But see, not only that, but we can recognize that there was something different about John. You see, the thing about it is John never asked for permission to lean on him. He never asked for permission to get close with him. He just did it because he knew that Jesus loved him. He just did it because he knew that he was special to Jesus. That's what you ought to do. You know, you ought to think sometimes, hey, maybe my prayer life is slipping. Maybe my fellowship is slipping. What you ought to do is you ought to just lean on Jesus. You ought to just draw nigh unto Jesus. Draw nigh unto God. Hey, and they'll draw nigh unto you. Amen. He just did it because he knew Jesus loved him. Once you recognize how much Jesus loves you, you'll get closer to him. Once you recognize how much Jesus loves you, you can lean on him. That's why John was able to go on and say in 1 John 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Yes. And the world knoweth us not because it knew him, not now, beloved, we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he appears we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him, hey, purifieth himself even as he is pure. Amen. That's why John was able to write in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. See, John was able to realize he was special to Jesus. John was able to recognize that. Not only that, but it started to register in his brain that he was special to Jesus. It begins to register in John's brain how much Jesus loves him. And you know what that starts to do? It allows John to start loving him back. Amen. Amen. Amen right there. Once you register how much Jesus loves you, look up in here. It don't matter what people think about you. It don't matter what people think about you. When I first started preaching, I used to go on there and read those little stupid YouTube comments, and I got all caught up in all that stuff. I don't care what anybody thinks about me anymore. You know why? Because, bless God, Jesus Christ is the one that called me to preach, and that's who I'm going to preach about. And when you get to register and how much Jesus loves you, it doesn't matter if people like you. See, I wanted to be liked when I first started preaching. But the thing of it is it doesn't matter anymore. I don't care whether people like me. I don't care what people say. Why? Because you know what? I'm the Christian whom Jesus loved. I'm the preacher that Jesus loved. Amen. And you may not be up here in the choir. You may not sing the specials. You may not be called to preach. But you know what you can be? You can be the Christian whom Jesus loved.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Lord.
You will never be able to grasp Jesus' love for us until we can love him back and realize how special we are to him. Number one, sometimes we fail Jesus. Number two, we're special to Jesus. But number three, I want to say that we are secure in Jesus. Look at verse number 25. He then lying on Jesus' breast. So something's changed here. Verse 23, he was leaning on him. But now he's reclined back. He's lying on him. He's laying up against him. See, the thing of it is that we got to understand that we are secure in Jesus. There's safety in Jesus. John felt safe and secure enough to lean on Jesus in verse 23, but now here in verse 25, we see that John's laying back on Jesus. So we got to ask ourselves, what happened in between those verses? The closer John got to Jesus, he realized the only thing that was holding him up was Jesus Christ. Amen. If this church, if we want to make it through all this stuff we're going through, we got to understand the only thing that's holding us up, bless God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. John began to trust that Jesus had his back, literally. That's what we got to do, is we got to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all remember a couple years ago, you teenagers look up in here. I don't know if y'all still do this. When I did, we did that thing called trust fall. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I would tell Lucas to come up here and do it, but he probably wouldn't catch me. What a trust fall is, if you don't know, is it was this thing where somebody would stand behind you and you'd cross your arms and you just fall back and then they were supposed to catch you. But the thing of it was is after they caught you, then you could trust them a whole lot more. But see, the Lord ain't playing no games. He's not playing trust fall. People won't hold you up. People will let you fall. People will step on you. They'll hurt your feelings. Yeah. They'll turn on you. Hey, but the Lord Jesus Christ, you can trust Him. He'll always hold you up. Amen. See, John had a deep trust in Jesus because he knew Jesus was there to hold him up. Amen. The Lord will do the same thing for you. The Bible says in Psalm 145:14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall, and He raiseth up them that be bowed down. Amen. Amen. So what we can notice here is the position of John. John began to trust Jesus more. How much do you trust Him today?
Amen.
Not only the position, but we can notice the proximity of John. John has now drawn closer to Jesus. How close are you in your fellowship with the Lord? We see the position, we see the proximity, but not only that, but it became personal to John. John and Jesus' relationship is growing stronger. You can see that. You can see the intimate fellowship. What about your relationship? The position, the proximity, it was personal. Not only that, but what about the precedent? We don't see anything in our text about Matthew or Luke or Mark, any of these other guys wanting to get closer to Jesus and lay up on His chest. But John set a precedent. He said, bless God, if I'm the only one that wants to get closer to Jesus, I'll do it. What about you? Young people, youth, what about you? What about a precedent? Why don't you be that one that says, hey, you know what? I'm going to be all in. I don't care if some of my friends have got one foot in, one foot out. I don't care if the people at church are living for the Lord fully or the people at my school are living for them. Why don't you be that one that says, hey, you know what? I'm going to make a precedent that I'm going to be all in for Jesus Christ, even if I'm the only one. If you take notes, write this down. If you never make any commitments to God, you'll never do anything for God. If you never make any commitments to God, you'll never do anything for God. There's safety in Jesus. Not only that, but there's security. John felt secure because he knew the only thing that was keeping him from falling was Jesus. And praise God for full salvation. We're eternally secure in Jesus. Amen. Jude said it like this, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Praise God, we can't lose it.
Amen.
Safety in Jesus, security in Jesus, but not only that, but there's shelter in Jesus. We can see that John took some time to rest with Jesus.
Yeah.
When's the last time you rested with Jesus and spent some time with Him? We live in a world that is so overstimulated with the phones and the demands of work and all these different things. When's the last time you unplugged from everything and just spent some time with Jesus? I went home today and my heart was just beating out of my chest. And I was just, the whole time I was like, Lord, I don't know what You want from me, but God, I need to spend some time with You. And I began to realize that there really is shelter in Jesus. That's why He said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls.
Amen.
But you know what we've done now, Christians? Instead of finding shelter in Jesus, what we've done is we've settled in our relationship with Jesus. And parents, if your kids have seen that you are settled in your spiritual life, your kids are going to do the same exact thing.
Sure will. That's right.
Because we've settled in our spiritual life. We're secure in Jesus. Praise God. Number four, I want to say that we can speak with Jesus. Look at verse 25. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Verse 26, Jesus answered. So here we can see that John has now asked Jesus a question. What a gift it is that we can speak with Jesus. John begins to ask Jesus a question. Friend, somebody loves you enough to listen to you and to talk to you, and his name is Jesus. John saith unto him, Lord, who is it? We can see John talking with Jesus and asking of Jesus. When's the last time that we asked God, what do you want from me, Lord? Ask God, show me what you want for me in my life instead of just telling God what we think we need.
Amen.
It's the last time we asked God, hey, God, I want you to show me what you think I need and not what I think I want.
Amen.
The Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and him that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. What about that Matthew 18:19? Again, I say unto you that if any two on earth shall agree as touching anything, they shall ask, and it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
But see, what we got to notice here in our text is that John talked to Jesus first. He had a question. He had a need. He went straight to Jesus. He didn't ask Peter. He didn't ask Matthew. He didn't ask Andrew. You know what my problem is? Sometimes I find myself in a trial or something.
Oh, yeah.
I find myself in a storm. And what do I want to do? I want to vent. I want to hash it out.
Yep.
Pray for my wife. She's a sounding board for me sometimes. Or I find myself in a predicament and I want to call one of my mentors down in North Carolina or call one of my mentors down in Florida, and all the while I'm asking them, hey, I need some help right here. What do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? Or I hash this out, or I've got to think it through this way. And all the while I never stopped and went to Jesus first.
Amen.
But you know what? How much worry and anxiety would we save if we just talked to Jesus first? We would be able to avoid unnecessary problems.
That's right.
Amen. Unnecessary pressure, unnecessary pain.
Yep.
Notice in verse 26 with me, and I'm almost done here. Jesus answered, he it is. Notice that after John had asked Jesus a question, we see the answer. John went to Jesus first and Jesus answered him. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thou great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Amen.
We call out to God, he'll hear us. So we see ask, we see the answer, but not only that, but we see the availability of Jesus. Look right here. He said, he it is. Jesus has answered him. Jesus was available to talk to John and listen to him. Nowadays, we can't barely even talk to people without them swiping on their phone. Oh yeah, I'm listening. My soul. A little thirsty. It's a little tight in here. Y'all pray for me. Hey, man. But see, Jesus was available to talk and listen to John. I grew up in the church that I grew up in, there was this guy named Larry. I doubt he's listening. Almost said his last name. And what he was notorious for was coming up to you and shaking your hand and then just walking off. And me and my older brother started figuring it out. He'd say, hey, Sam, hey, Ty, how y'all doing? And we'd answer, and by the time we were answering, he'd just walk off. Or he wasn't even listening. So we started messing with him. They'd come up to us and say, hey, Sam, how's your day going? I'm like, it's terrible. Everything's awful. And he'd say, well, that's great. Because he wasn't listening. He was there, but he wasn't there. How many times do we talk to people and we have these conversations and they're one-sided or somebody's not listening?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, but praise God, there's a God in heaven. Hey, there's a God in heaven who's always available. There's a God in heaven who hears my prayers. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud. Hey, and he shall hear my voice.
Yeah.
Praise God, Jesus is always available.
Yeah.
What we do is we take that for granted because you know what? You don't enjoy talking to him like you used to. Y'all remember when you first started talking with your with your spouse? Like when y'all was just boyfriend and girlfriend? Anybody? Everybody okay?
Come on.
See, when me and Kenzie first started talking, I couldn't talk to her enough. I was like a little kid again. I'm kidding you not. We would talk on the phone for like 5 hours. I didn't even know that was possible. I'm talking about like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to 3 a.m. in the morning. And I got work the next day. We couldn't talk enough. But see, you used to couldn't get enough of talking to Jesus. Now we pray 10 minutes. And y'all don't even feel convicted when you sing that sweet hour prayer. Sweet 10 minutes of prayer that bids me from a world of care. Sweet 5 minutes of prayer. It's the last time you prayed for an hour. But not only that, but when we were first dating, we used to write letters. She still writes me letters. I'm slacking a little bit. And I used to love reading them letters. Matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, she showed me a book that she had written. And she wrote a book like 4 years ago. And she wrote in it every day. This is before she was at this church, before I even knew who she was. And she was writing these letters, "Dear future husband." And like 3 weeks ago, randomly, she shows it to me and says, "Baby, read this." And I get it at first, and I'm thinking, "Are you kidding me?" And I began to read it. Buddy, I was bawling, dropping pages on every single one of dropping tears on every single one of those pages. Sweet. I'm talking about, "I prayed for you today. I hope you had a good day today. I don't know who you are, but I hope you're seeking after God. I'm praying for you. I can't wait to meet you one day." I'm talking about pages and pages and pages of letters that she had wrote to her future husband. And then when I proposed to her, she went at the end of that book and wrote about me. But you know what it is, Christian? Before you met God, God wrote you letters. God wrote you a book with 66 letters in it. When was the last time you dropped some tears reading God's book? "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." I just got one more point. Lastly, I want to say that we should love like Jesus. We should love like Jesus. Let me draw your attention real quick to verse number 34. Very, very familiar verse. We always quote this. Verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." So we can all agree that we ought to love other people like Jesus, but what we don't ever specify is how we ought to do that. If you would, please turn to the very beginning of John chapter 13, and I'm going to show you how we do that. John chapter 13, right there in the beginning. Look at verse 4. "He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." If we're going to be able to love like Jesus, you know what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to pick up a towel. Jesus took a towel and girded himself. Jesus took a towel and he humbled himself and got down on a knee and said, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to help them out. I'm going to wash their feet."
That's right.
He didn't lecture them. He didn't correct them. He didn't try to get them back in line and say, "Hey, buddy, you failed me here. Buddy, you failed me there." No, he just humbled himself and said, "Hey, I'm going to do something for somebody else." Why? Hey, because he loved them. How are we going to love like Jesus? We're going to have to pick up a towel. Just being there for somebody really helps. Amen. Jesus is willing to humble himself. Are you?
Amen.
And in order to pick up a towel, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to put down your pride.
Yeah.
You're going to have to put down your sword. See, it's real easy to cut somebody's throat. But it's much harder to get on a knee and try to help them. And I'm not talking about put this thing down. You better not ever do that. I'm talking about the sword in the sense that we always want to cut somebody down. Yeah. We're going to have to be able to pick up a towel. Amen?
Amen.
Because what do you use to clean up a mess? You use a towel. You don't use a sword for that.
Amen.
Folks, look around. We're in a mess right now. We're going to have to be willing to put our pride down and pick up a towel.
Amen.
It's hard to humble yourself and get down on a knee and wash feet. But what it's easy to do is criticize other church members and cut them to pieces. It's much harder to walk down here at an altar and get down on your knees and pray for somebody than it is to talk about them. And what prevents us from loving like Jesus is we'd rather hold on to our pride than hold on to a towel. We'd rather do some stuff that gets us the spotlight and get ourselves some glory than to help somebody else. When was the last time you picked up a towel to help somebody? See, John understood that if he was going to love Jesus how he ought to, he had to first love the brethren. He went on to write in 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Miss Angie, would you come up here? I'm coming to a conclusion. Just play something real soft here. Just got one more thing to say. I'm coming to a conclusion here. Don't let the devil steal what I'm about to say. I could have ticked you off with something I said. Just don't miss this, please. If the Jesus that you say you serve never confronts you, he never convicts you, he never challenges you, he never changes you, then you're not serving the Jesus of this Bible.
Amen.
Somebody loves you and his name is Jesus. We'll never be able to fully comprehend his love. But I've got a niece and a nephew, and they're real young, and they'll come up to me, and they'll play this little game, and they'll say, Sammy, how much do you love me? Do you love me this much? And I'll say, no, I love you this much. Yeah. But friend, when Jesus was on that cross, he stretched his arms out like this.
Yes.
And he said, I love you this much.
Sure.
The first verse in John chapter 13, it says, when Jesus knew that his hour was come to depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end.
Yes, amen.
He loved us to death, literally.
Amen.
I'm going to end with this. Have you loved him the way that you should lately? Somebody loves you, amen, and his name is Jesus. Let's pray.
Amen.
Father God, I did what you asked me, Lord. I thank you for helping me, Lord. I thank you for my church. Thank you for my pastor, Lord. I thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. We're nothing without you. We thank you for what you've done, Lord. We thank you for what you will do, Lord. I pray that you'd bless now. Help that one, Lord. I pray that you'd help somebody in this church, Lord. I pray that you would help our church, Lord. We need you badly. We need you to unify us, Lord. We need you to help us. We need you to guide our steps, guide our direction at Temple Baptist Church, Lord. And I pray that we would be humble enough to acknowledge you in everything that we do, Lord, and give you all the honor and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.